This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Community News, covering the towns of Southbridge, Charlton, Sturbridge, Brimfield, Dudley, and Wales. This program is sponsored in part by the Lions Clubs of Sturbridge and Brookfield, and thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. In the next hour, we will be bringing you news from the Southbridge Evening News and the Charlton and Sturbridge Villagers. Today, we will be reading from the May 7th and May 8th editions. This is Dave Russell. Southbridge Historical Society hosting program on local Revolutionary War veterans. The Southbridge Historical Society will meet on Wednesday, May 13th at 7 p.m. at the Ruth Wells Center for the Arts, 111 Main Street. Reenactors from the Sturbridge roster will describe what it was like to be militiamen in period clothing and will display weaponry and other equipment and artifacts from that time. Raymond Petrella of Southbridge and Doug Quigley of Sturbridge and others will present the program about the Sturbridge Militia. Petrella portrays Denison Wheelock and Quigley portrays Timothy Parker, a captain of one of the three companies in the Sturbridge Militia. Parker was also a veteran of the French and Indian War. Wheelock is buried at Oak Ridge Cemetery. This will be a fitting program for our nation's 250th. Both local historians, Petrella is a longtime and well-known driving instructor, and Quigley is a retired postal clerk from the Southbridge Post Office. Following the veterans' presentation, Sturbridge historian and author Wally Hersey will talk briefly about additional local veterans who had been lost to history and not necessarily commemorated on bronze memorial plaques and monuments. Hersey's extensive research has uncovered dozens of other soldiers who are documented in his next book, titled To Defend All That Is Dear, The Soldiers Who Served Sturbridge, Massachusetts in the War for Independence. Many are buried in Oak Ridge Cemetery. The public is invited to this free program. Many other events are taking place locally, and among them, Brookfield-based painter and photographer's work on display at Ruth Wells Center. A new spring exhibit celebrating color, renewal, and creative expression will open this month at the Ruth Wells Center for the Arts, featuring recent work by local painter and photographer Laura Senadella. Titled April Showers Bring May Flowers, the show runs through May 24th. Senadella, a Brookfield-based artist, brings a wide-ranging body of work that reflects her background in both painting and photography. Working across oil, acrylic, watercolor, and pastel, she has built a reputation for vibrant, expressive pieces, as well as commissioned works including murals and pet portraits. Her photography has also gained recognition, most recently appearing in the Small Stones 2026 art catalog. Her artistic path began in high school and has evolved into a largely self-directed practice. Over the years, her work has earned awards from organizations such as the Massachusetts Cultural Council, the Blackstone Valley Art Association, and the Massasoit Art Guild. She remains active in the regional arts community, serving as a board member of the Blackstone Valley Art Association and maintaining memberships with several arts organizations. Senadella's work has been displayed in venues across Massachusetts, including libraries and the Worcester Art Museum, and she continues to expand her reach through both in-person exhibitions and an online following built through videos documenting her creative process. In addition to her studio work, Senadella has been involved in community outreach, leading art workshops in partnership with the Open Sky Community Services in Whitensville, and teaching through adult education programs, including at Baypath Technical High School. She has also participated in recent local exhibits at the Jacob Edwards Library in Southbridge and the Charlton Public Library. The upcoming show marks her latest solo exhibition and continues her focus on making art accessible within the community. The gallery will be open weekends from noon to 4 p.m., with weekday and evening visits available by appointment. To schedule a viewing, visitors may contact Ruth Wells Art at gmail.com or call 508-764-3341. With the month of May in full swing, Charlton Garden Club plant sale fundraiser set for May 16th. Once again, it's time for the Charlton Garden Club's annual plant sale, held on the Common on Saturday, May 16th from 9 a.m. to noon. The sale offers a wide variety of flowering annuals and perennials, vegetables and herbs, as well as woody plants. Come peruse our plant selection, check out the Garden Treasures table, and be sure to bring a half cup of soil for a free pH test. Massachusetts Master Gardeners will be on hand to answer your gardening queries. The Charlton Garden Club was started 89 years ago by a group of 12 women, all wanting to share their interest in gardening. It didn't take them too long to find like-minded individuals in the community, and the Charlton Garden Club was formed. The club has met continuously since 1937, except for a brief time during World War II due to gas rationing. At least 300 members have participated in and enjoyed the club's activities. Presently, the club meets on the second Monday of the month, March through December, typically at 6:30 p.m. in the community room at the Charlton Public Library. All are welcome to attend our advertised meetings at no charge. Those wanting to join the Charlton Garden Club would be asked to pay annual dues. The purpose of the Charlton Garden Club is to create interest in gardening in all its branches and encourage the beautification of home and community. The plant sale is our major fundraiser, with funds used for speakers and community beautification projects. Each year, club members plant flowers at the Morton Memorial, as well as beds on other parts of the common. At Old Home Day, the club sets up a flower show with arrangements from club members for pleasant viewing for all. Throughout the years, the club has planted trees and flowers at our schools, police station, town hall, and churches. In the past, scholarships were awarded to Shepherd Hill or Baypath students entering horticultural-related fields. The Charlton Garden Club offers opportunities to learn more about plants and the environment, to participate in the community beautification projects, as well as to instill an appreciation for our natural resources. Plus, it's a great place to meet other local gardening enthusiasts. Those interested in learning more about the Garden Club can email us at charltongardenclub@gmail.com. Also upcoming, Sturbridge America 250 celebration invites community to Family Fun Day. The Sturbridge American 250 Celebration Committee invites the community to our Family Fun Day on Saturday, May 16th from noon to 3 p.m. on the Sturbridge Common. This is the first of two community-wide events commemorating America's 250th anniversary. The second, on June 27th, features a parade followed by activities on the Common. The Family Fun Day kicks off at noon with a patriotic costume parade. Participants can check in starting at noon and will receive a parade number and patriotic goodie bag. The parade begins at 12:15 p.m. Prizes will be given for the most historical, most patriotic, and best family or group theme. From 1 to 2 p.m., the Mighty Top Big Circus will perform. This is a small but mighty show with several silks, hula hoop acrobatics, and aerial hoop acts. After the show, kids can jump in and try our hula hoop tricks and other circus skills themselves. By watching and joining in, kids can learn more about coordination, rhythm, and sticking with something new. In collaboration with the Joshua Hyde Public Library, this program is supported in part by the Sturbridge Cultural Council, a local agency which is supported by the Massachusetts Cultural Council, a state agency. Following the circus, there will be a potato sack race and a three-legged race, with prizes awarded. Throughout the afternoon, families can enjoy yard games, a selfie station, face painting, a balloon artist, and an inflatable double slide. Girl Scout Troop number 65394 will have a coloring and crafts table with the crafts sponsored by the Stephanie LaChapelle Group with Compass. Children can make a patriotic hat with the Daughters of the American Revolution. A DJ will be acting as MC and providing music throughout the afternoon. Free hot dogs, chips, and water will be provided for the first 250 attendees. Food can also be purchased from attending food trucks. The Sturbridge America 250 Committee thanks Veolia for providing prizes, goodie bags, and the hot dogs, chips, and water. On Saturday, June 27th, the community is invited to participate in and enjoy a parade starting at OSV and ending on the town common, followed by a number of patriotic activities on the common. Anyone who wishes to participate should go to the Sturbridge Recreation Department website, sturbridgema.myrec.com. More information on the parade and activities will be coming soon. Another upcoming event, Southbridge Garden Club to hold annual plant sale, May 17th. The Southbridge Garden Club is holding its annual plant sale Sunday, May 17th on the Sturbridge Common from 9 a.m. to noon. This year, there will be plenty of varieties to choose from, including hanging baskets and potted annuals, early spring vegetables, locally grown perennials, houseplants, a table of garden treasures, free soil testing, and information from the Master Gardener booth and independent vendors. Take about 10 soil samples from different areas of your garden plot, put them in a plastic bag, and your soil will be analyzed with suggestions of amendments to add to your garden for growing healthy plants. This is an opportunity for local residents to purchase healthy plants for their homes and gardens as we kick off another gardening season while supporting the Southbridge Garden Club's mission to provide local scholarships and community gardening projects. There will be plenty of parking and lots of opportunities to bring home some special items at reasonable prices. And this story, CCUMC offering annual pulled pork sandwich dinner, May 16th. Saturday, May 16th, Charlton City United Methodist Church will be offering their delicious pulled pork dinner. Come and enjoy food and fellowship with friends and neighbors. A tasty pulled pork sandwich with creamy potato salad, coleslaw, buttery corn, baked beans, along with strawberry shortcake with whipped cream and beverages. Dinner is served from 5 to 6:30 p.m., and as always, there will be continuous serving and takeout available. For adults, $15, children ages 6 to 12, $8. Children under 6 will eat free. Family maximum is $50. Walk-ins are welcome, although reservations are appreciated. Call the church office at 508-248-7379 for information and reservations. The building is handicapped accessible with ample parking and located at 74 Stafford Street, Charlton. Invite the whole family and your friends for an enjoyable meal. Our next story, community contributions make a difference. The Joshua Hyde Public Library in Sturbridge relies on the generosity and involvement of the community to support programs and services that go beyond what the town budget can provide. There are many ways to lend a helping hand and make a positive impact. By donating your time and energy, you can support the JHPL Friends Book Sale Team. We organize and sort books for the book sales. It's a terrific way to stay on top of authors and all sorts of books. We warmly welcome book donations. Whether you have a cherished novel, a delightful children's storybook, or a favorite paperback to share, your contribution makes a meaningful difference. Each donated book helps grow the JHPL Friends of the Library collection, and it will find a new home during our book sales. If you're interested in donating books, please reach out to the Joshua Hyde Public Library, 508 508- 347-2512. We're excited to help you share your love of reading and books with others. On Sunday, May 17th, the JHPL Friends will be supporting the amazing work of the Southbridge Garden Club. Join us on Sturbridge Common to purchase plants or to purchase a book. The Joshua Hyde Public Library Friends will be offering the opportunity to purchase gardening books, home improvement books, and decorating titles. The event is perfect for anyone looking to spruce up their home and garden. Additionally, there'll be wonderful selections of children's books and summer reading paperbacks, ensuring there's something for every reader. All plant sales will support the Southbridge Garden Club. Book sales will directly benefit Joshua Hyde Public Library programs. And be sure to mark your calendars for the JHPL Friends August Book Sale, an event that brings book lovers of all ages together. The August Book Sale will be held on Saturday, August 8th. The sale offers a wonderful way to find new reads at affordable prices and will fund library initiatives that enrich the community. No matter how you choose to support, whether you're pitching in as a volunteer, donating a beloved book, or hunting for your next favorite read at our upcoming sale, your involvement brings energy and excitement to the Joshua Hyde Public Library. When we come together as a community, we help the library flourish and keep educational, cultural, and recreational experiences alive for everyone. Let's make a difference, one book and one act of kindness at a time. This is Community News from Southbridge, Sturbridge, and Charlton. It's a weekly production of the Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. Another upcoming event, Relay for Life, returns to Southbridge June 20th. The Relay for Life of Southern Worcester County will hold its 29th relay in Southbridge on Saturday, June 20th at McMahon Field from 9 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. The Relay for Life is the signature fundraiser of the American Cancer Society. 29 years is no small feat. We walk to honor, remember, and celebrate those we have lost to cancer, those who are still fighting, and the ones who have beat it. We can't do it without help from the community, and we're thankful to partner with the Duck and Avellino in Sturbridge to hold a fundraiser day on Tuesday, May 19th. Dine in or take out at either of these locations all day on May 19th, and 20% of all food sales will be donated to the American Cancer Society. You must present a coupon, either in print form or on your phone. Reservations are strongly suggested. Gather up family or friends, eat great food, and help raise funds to fight cancer one plate at a time. Another opportunity, Auction Acres to host 7th Annual Pioneer Valley Wine Festival. Brimfield Auction Acres, birthplace of the world-famous Brimfield Antique Shows, will host the 6th Annual Pioneer Valley Wine Festival Saturday and Sunday, June 6th and 7th, from noon to 5 p.m. 2026 marks the 7th year of the Pioneer Valley Wine and Food Festival. This exciting event brings together New England wineries, cideries, distilleries, and meaderies from across the Pioneer Valley and farmers of many sorts selling their wares. The event started in 2018 by the collaboration with farm wineries throughout New England and local farmers to create a festival to highlight the magnificent products Massachusetts provides, all in unison, and support of Massachusetts Agricultural Department. The festival will feature local vintners and craft brewers ready to spill their secrets, live art demonstrations, sizzling chef panel starring culinary celebs to be announced soon. Last year, celebrity guests included Bryn Gibson, the youngest Black Jacket finalist from Fox's Hell's Kitchen with Gordon Ramsay. We also have Jared Foreman, the culinary mastermind behind Dead Horse Hill, who brought the heat on Food Network's Beat Bobby Flay. This story from Brimfield, actors sought for Living History Cemetery Tour. As part of Brimfield's 250th celebration of the American Revolution, a Living History Cemetery tour is being planned for June 13th. The tour includes powerful stories of the men who left home to serve in the Patriot cause and the families they left behind. Registration details will follow. Organizers are seeking a male actor to portray a notable Brimfield resident whose family sent 14 men to fight for freedom. Narrators who will read short graveside scripts are also needed. Contact Sue DeBruin through the Friends of Historic Brimfield at 413-239-0288 to lend your talents and make history come alive. From Sturbridge, the Sturbridge America 250 Parade is June 27th. The Sturbridge America 250 Committee is moving forward with plans for a parade and festival on Saturday, June 27th, rain or shine. The parade will step off from the old Sturbridge Village Museum Education parking lot at 10:30 a.m. It will proceed on the OSV Access Road to Route 20, then to Route 131, and end at the Town Common. Bill Emmerich will emcee the parade. The parade will include marching bands, entertainers, antique cars, floats made by local businesses, and area groups. Bob Briere, recognized by many as the town's historian, is the parade grand marshal. Virginia Jalbert, the town's oldest resident at 101, is the guest of honor. There is still time for businesses or groups to get involved with a float, vintage car, or marchers. Children are invited to decorate their bikes or scooters and ride in the parade. Helmets are required, and a parent or guardian must walk alongside their child throughout. Anyone wishing to participate can email sturbridge250@gmail.com. Following the parade, there will be a festival on the common. This festival will include historical reenactors, entertainers, patriotic music, a reading of the Declaration of Independence, a cherry pie eating contest, and other participatory activities, and food trucks. Mark your calendars for June 27th to celebrate the 250th anniversary of American independence in Sturbridge. Also coming up, St. Anne St. Patrick Parish calls for volunteers for Novena. Since 1987, pilgrims and parishioners have gathered at St. Anne's Shrine for the annual Novena in Fiskdale, first celebrated with a procession of thanksgiving for miraculous healings. The Novena is always held July 18th through July 26th for the Feast of Saints Anne and Joachim. Each evening begins with a procession and the rosary, followed by Mass. On the final day, we celebrate a special Mass for healing and honor grandparents in a particular way. The theme of this year's Novena is One in Christ, United in Mission. And we invite all parishioners, visitors, and pilgrims to join us in deepening our relationship with Christ in the Eucharist. Whether you come for one evening or for all 9 days, we look forward to celebrating this beautiful tradition with you. To help make this sacred event welcoming and safe for all, the parish needs volunteers with medical experience, such as nurses, doctors, and paramedics, parking attendants, shuttle drivers, and trained security personnel. If you feel called to serve in any of these capacities, please contact the parish office at 508-347-7338 by May 15th. There will be an orientation meeting for all volunteers before the Novena begins. St. Anne St. Patrick Parish is an active parish community. It offers daily Mass for worship, religious education, and community ministries. It welcomes visitors to St. Anne's Shrine, Hall of Saints, Russian Icon Exhibit, Votive Chapels, Generation Statue, Angel of Hope Monument, and the new Memorial for the Unborn. The daily rosary is recited at 3 p.m. in the St. Patrick Chapel, and weekend masses are celebrated in the outdoor pavilion in the summer. The religious gift shop is open every day from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And as you plan additional activities, Berkshire-based musician hosting program on women in early country music. Berkshire-based roots musician Paula Bradley, who offers vocals, guitar, and banjo, brings stories and songs of women in early country music, highlighting their often overlooked contributions to America's rich musical legacy. That will be at Jacob Edwards Library, 236 Main Street in Southbridge, on Thursday, June 11th, from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Admission to the concert is free and open to the public. The program is funded in part by a grant from the Southbridge Cultural Council, a local agency which is supported by the Massachusetts Cultural Council, a state agency. A West Virginia-born multi-instrumentalist residing in the Berkshires, Paula Bradley has been involved in old-time and roots music for many years. Known for her strong, spirited vocals, she has toured on banjo with old-time darlings Uncle Earl, with old-time powerhouse Bruce Moisky on guitar and banjo and uke, and with Tony Trischka and Bruce as part of the acoustic roots trio Jawbone. She was a founding member of the popular New England Honky Tonk Combo on piano and vocals, and with her late husband Bill Dilloff, the old-time duet Moonshine Holler. She currently leads her own popular honky tonk country swing combo, Miss Paula and the Twang Busters, and pursues many musical side projects. Paula is also an on-demand traditional music instructor and has been on staff at music camps, including Swannanoa Gathering, Mars Hill, Winter Village Music, Augusta Heritage, and Ashokan. And this is an invitation to plan ahead. The Casaubon Senior Center in Southbridge announces upcoming trips. The Casaubon Senior Center is sponsoring these up-and-coming trips from And Away We Go Travels and Best of Times Travel. For more information, contact Jean Dupuy at jtd1154@yahoo.com or visit the Senior Center to pick up a flyer. A $25 deposit is needed at sign-up. On June 20th, it's a trip to the Newport Flower Show. You'll visit the Rosecliff Mansion's gardens and lunch at the Wyndham Newport Hotel. Lunch choices are chicken, scrod, or pasta primavera, $129 a person. July 19th, it's a day in Maine clam bake with short stops along the way for shopping and, of course, a feast on Foster's New England clam bake. A chicken meal and vegetarian meal are offered as well, $119 a person for that. Then on August 29th, Charles River Cruise, it's a great two-hour cruise with lunch at the Cheesecake Factory and a trip to Quincy Market, $145 a person. September 30th, it's Turkey Train, a turkey dinner with all the trimmings on the Winnipesaukee Scenic Railroad, $149 a person, no meal substitutions. November 29th, Holiday Jamboree at Ivorytown Playhouse. The first stop is at the Scotch Plains Tavern for lunch. Your choice of chicken, scrod, or vegetable primavera is offered. The Jamboree pays homage to the Grand Old Opry holiday music. It's $169 a person for a wonderful way to start the holidays. We also have one overnight trip to New York City, sponsored by Best of Times Travel, September 3rd and 4th, $899 for double, $1,099 for single, and $869 for triple or quad accommodations. This includes a Broadway show, 9/11 Memorial, and a trip to the Statue of Liberty and Ellis Island. Once again, this is all booked through the Casaubon Senior Center. This is Community News from Southbridge, Sturbridge, and Charlton. It's a weekly production of the Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. During this hour, we're reading from the Southbridge Evening News as well as the Charlton and Sturbridge Villagers. We turn to the editorial now from this week's Southbridge Evening News, a library built by its community. In towns like Sturbridge, a library is never only about books. It's a gathering place, a quiet corner for reflection, a starting point for curiosity, whether that curiosity belongs to a child discovering a first chapter book or an adult searching for something new. And while the Joshua Hyde Public Library is supported by public funding, much of what makes it special comes from something less predictable but more powerful, the steady, generous involvement of the community itself. The truth is easy to overlook. We walk through the doors, attend a program, or check out a book, and rarely stop to consider how many of those offerings are made possible, not by a line item in a budget, but by neighbors who choose to give their time or share something they no longer need. The work of the Friends of the Library is a clear example. Their book sales are not only popular events, they are a quiet engine that helps fund programs and services that might otherwise be out of reach. Behind those sales are volunteers who sort, organize, and prepare thousands of donated books. It's a careful, hands-on work, and it speaks to a simple idea. When people invest their time, the entire community benefits. The act of donating a book may seem small, but it carries surprising weight. A novel read and loved once can find its way to a new reader. A children's book can spark imagination again in a different home. A gardening guide or how-to manual can help someone tackle a new project. These are modest exchanges, but together they create a cycle of sharing that strengthens the community in ways that are hard to measure but easy to feel. Events like the upcoming gathering on Sturbridge Common bring that spirit into the open. Pairing book sales with plant sales in support of the Southbridge Garden Club is a reminder that local organizations rarely operate in isolation. Instead, they thrive when they work alongside one another, each effort enforcing the next. It's a model that has long defined small-town life, where cooperation is not strategy but habit. And then there is the annual August book sale, a tradition that draws readers of all ages. It is the kind of event that feels familiar every year, year after year, yet remains essential. In an era when so much of daily life has moved online, there is something enduring about browsing a table of books, discovering an unexpected title, and leaving with something tangible. What stands out most is not any single event or effort, but the collective impact. A volunteer's hour, a donated paperback, a purchase at a book sale. These are small contributions on their own. Together, they help sustain a library that offers far more than shelves and circulation numbers. The continued success of the Joshua Hyde Public Library depends on that shared sense of responsibility. It depends on people choosing to take part in whatever way they can. Not everyone has time to volunteer, but can donate a book. Not everyone has books to give, but many can attend a sale. Participation takes many forms, and each one matters. A strong library reflects a strong community. It reflects people who believe that access to knowledge, creativity, and connection is worth supporting. In Sturbridge, that belief is still very much alive. The invitation now is simple. Show up. Lend a hand, pass along a book, support an event. These are small acts, but they carry forward something larger. A library does not flourish on its own. It flourishes because a community chooses to help it do so. And that's the editorial from this week's Southbridge Evening News. We have a letter to the editor. It begins, "Friends and neighbors, I want to thank all the voters of Charlton who came out to vote this past Saturday. The overwhelming response that my campaign for the Charlton Select Board received from the community is heartwarming. The emails, comments, letters to the editor, and most importantly, the face-to-face conversations we had were inspiring, informative, and heartwarming. This is a great community, and one that, like so many others, is in transition. Many wonderful new families are moving here. Charlton faces similar issues to those that towns and cities across the country are facing: maintaining town infrastructure, funding continuous improvement in schools, managing the environment we live in, and protecting our rights. We need to strongly support existing businesses while expanding the business community. With our growing families and aging parents, we need to ensure that our youth and our seniors have the services and respect due them. There is a lot of work to do. The new Select Board has some very significant work ahead. That work will require meaningful, fact-based conversation, collaboration, creativity, and civility. I wish them the best going forward, doing the people's business, and congratulate new Select Board member Mike Kevorkian. I consider it a privilege and a civic responsibility to be engaged in these conversations, and I look forward to being part of them. Thank you, Charlton. Let's continue listening and talking to one another as time and circumstances move us all into the future. With gratitude, Bruce Menon of Charlton. Now a story from Southbridge. Food Share adds monthly Saturday hours to expand community access. Residents who rely on the Southbridge Food Share now have an additional opportunity each month to receive assistance as the pantry expands its schedule to include one Saturday distribution day. The added weekend hours are intended to make services more accessible for individuals and families who may not be able to visit during the organization's regular weekday schedule. Southbridge Food Share continues to operate on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and will now also open one Saturday each month at its location at 446 Hamilton Street. Distribution hours remain the same on all service days, running from 10 to 11:15 a.m. Upcoming Saturday dates include May 16th, June 27th, July 25th, August 22nd, and September 26th. No appointments are required to receive food, and visitors are not asked to provide income documentation or legal identification. The pantry serves residents from Southbridge and surrounding communities and operates with support from local partners, including the United Way of South Central Massachusetts. Community donations and volunteer efforts continue to play a key role in sustaining the program's operations. Southbridge Food Share has remained a central resource for area households facing food insecurity, particularly as grocery costs and household expenses continue to affect many families across the region. Organizers encourage residents to share information about the expanded Saturday schedule with neighbors and community members who may benefit from the service. For more information, residents may call 508-765-6583 or visit the Hamilton Street location during operating hours. Our next story, BHS Class of 1986 seeks community help locating classmates for 40th reunion. As the Bartlett High School Class of 1986 prepares to celebrate its 40th reunion on September 26th, organizers are asking the community for assistance in locating classmates who have not yet been reached through social media or via text. To make the process simple, the reunion committee has created a short contact information form and is encouraging residents, friends, and former classmates to help spread the word. If you know someone on the missing classmates list, organizers ask that you text them the link to the form so that they can update their information. The complete list is in the Southbridge Evening News. If you cannot access it there, you can go to tinyurl.com/BHS1986 40 years. If it's easier, you may also complete the form on a classmate's behalf, so long as you have the current contact details. Organizers emphasize that any help tracking them down is truly appreciated, as personal connections often succeed where digital outreach falls short. If you need more information or assistance, contact Bartlett High School. We hope every member of the class of 86 will have the opportunity to join this milestone celebration. Now we have some student news for you from Amherst, Massachusetts. Catherine R. Monopoly of Sturbridge received a Doctor of Philosophy degree from the Morningside Graduate School of Biomedical Sciences, part of the UMass Chan Medical School, in combination with Worcester Polytechnic Institute. Her concentration was in quantitative and computational biosciences and bioengineering, and her research concentrated on RNA therapeutics and machine learning. A graduation ceremony will be held on the institution's Worcester campus on Sunday, May 31st. Catherine is the daughter of Michael and Carol Ann Monopoly of Sturbridge. Dr. Monopoly graduated from Tantasqua High School, attended Colorado's School of Mines, and earned her undergraduate and master's degree from the University of Massachusetts Amherst in 2015. Presently, Monopoly is employed as a senior scientist in oligonucleotide therapeutics at Regeneron Pharmaceuticals. Since we're talking about student activity, St. Joseph School students embarked on a memorable Washington, D.C. journey. During April vacation week, students in grades 7 and 8 from St. Joseph's School in Webster embarked on an enriching and faith-filled trip to Washington, D.C., combining history, culture, and fellowship into a truly unforgettable experience. The group gathered in the early morning hours on Monday, April 20th, meeting at the school at 4:30 a.m. before departing by coach at 5 a.m. for the nation's capital. Upon arrival, students immediately immersed themselves in American history with a visit to Arlington National Cemetery, where they observed the solemn Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and the changing of the guard. The day continued with visits to iconic memorials, including the Lincoln Memorial, Vietnam Veterans Memorial, and Korean War Veterans Memorial. Tuesday offered a meaningful blend of scenic and spiritual experiences. Students toured the grounds of the United States Capitol and visited the magnificent Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. A highlight of the trip was Mass at the St. John Paul II National Shrine, where Headmaster Father Richard Pollock served as a co-celebrant. Following Mass, students were warmly greeted by Sister Veritas Green of the Sisters of Our Lady of Mercy. She presented each student with a Divine Mercy prayer card featuring the image revealed to St. Faustina Kowalska. She then spent time speaking with the students about the message and significance of Divine Mercy, offering a meaningful moment of reflection. The afternoon included a visit to the National Museum of African American History and Culture, along with photo stops at the White House and the Washington Monument. Students concluded the day by visiting additional memorials honoring Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., Franklin D. Roosevelt, and Thomas Jefferson. Wednesday's itinerary continued to bring history to life. Students visited Ford's Theater, gaining insight into the life and legacy of President Abraham Lincoln. The group then traveled to Virginia to explore the Stephen F. Udvar Hazy Center, part of the Smithsonian Institution. This stop proved to be a favorite among students, many of whom enthusiastically participated in flight simulators and explored historic aircraft. Another highlight was the National Museum of the United States Army, where hands-on STEM activities engaged students in interactive learning. The day concluded with visits to the Pentagon and the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts. While visiting the Kennedy Center's terrace, students were treated to a breathtaking sunset overlooking the city. With sweeping views of Washington, D.C. as their backdrop, students captured memorable photos, taking in the beauty of the nation's capital in a truly special moment of reflection and joy. On the final day, students visited the People's House, an interactive museum experience focused on the White House, where many enjoyed stepping inside a full-scale replica of the Oval Office. The group also toured the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum. While there, several students had the extraordinary opportunity to meet and listen to Holocaust survivor Rose Helene Spreringen, who shared her story as a young Jewish girl in France during World War II. After her mother was arrested and deported to Auschwitz, Rose Helene fled Nazi-occupied Paris with her grandmother and survived the war in hiding, enduring fear, separation, and uncertainty at a very young age. Her powerful testimony brought history to life in a deeply personal way and left a lasting impression on all who were present. The final Smithsonian stop was the Smithsonian National Museum of Natural History, providing students with a fascinating look at the natural world. Throughout the trip, students demonstrated curiosity, respect, and enthusiasm as they explored the rich history and culture of the nation's capital. Supported by the expertise of a professional tour guide provided by the travel program, who offered meaningful historical context and engaging insights at each stop, students were able to deepen their understanding of the people, places, and events that have shaped our nation. Among their favorite experiences were the Air and Space Museum's flight simulators, the interactive exhibits at the Museum of the United States Army, the engaging exhibits at the People's House, and the powerful and inspiring visit to the Lincoln Memorial. More than just an education or excursion, the trip fostered a strong sense of community and fellowship among students and chaperones. The experience was led by Principal Beth Boudreaux, Headmaster Father Richard Pollock, and Grade 5 teacher Susan Gallivan, whose leadership and dedication helped make the journey both meaningful and memorable. This Washington, D.C. trip is quickly becoming a valued and emerging tradition at St. Joseph's School, now in its second offering. Following the inaugural trip in 2023, the experience is extended to students who demonstrate strong character, responsibility, and a genuine desire to participate. More than just a trip, it's an opportunity earned through consistent effort and positive contributions to the school community. As this tradition continues to grow, it stands as a meaningful way to celebrate student commitment while providing an unforgettable educational and faith-filled experience. This is Community News from Southbridge, Sturbridge, and Charlton. It's a weekly production of the Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. Now we take a look at some of the upcoming programs and events at our local public libraries. First, the Joshua Hyde Public Library, 306 Main Street in Sturbridge. You can reach them at 508-347-2512 or mayent. That's mayent at cwmars.org. On Monday, May 18th, from 3:30 to 4:30 p.m., it's family craft time. Participants will make clay trinket dishes. It's for kids ages 5 to 12 and their caretakers, who are invited to make their own trinket dish using air-dry clay and all sorts of fun decorations. Registration is required. Also on Monday, May 18th, from 7 to 8 p.m., a virtual presentation, Banning Books in America, Not a How-To, with author Samuel Cohen. We all have thoughts and feelings about the rise of book bannings in America, so this is a great opportunity to have a discussion about it. Join author and professor Samuel Cohen for a conversation on his most recent release, Banning Books in America, not a how-to. This program is sponsored by the Friends of the Ashland Public Library in collaboration with a multitude of Massachusetts libraries. Then on Wednesday, May 20th, from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m., it's Armchair Travelers Book Group. This month's book is The Forest of Vanishing Stars by Kristen Hamill. If you need a copy of the book, please contact the Joshua Hyde Public Library. Next, we look at the Charlton Public Library. For further details and to register for any of the programs we talk about, go to their website, charltonlibrary.org. Additional parking is available across the street at Town Hall or at the elementary school. A reminder that the Charlton Library will be closed on Monday, May 25th for Memorial Day. Now some upcoming programs at the Charlton Public Library. On Saturday, May 16th, from 10 to 11 a.m. in Dexter Hall, it's Gentle Flow Yoga. Registration is required. Breathe, stretch, and unwind in this relaxing 60-minute yoga class. It's perfect for beginners and experienced yogis alike. This class will blend gentle, mindful movement with calming breathwork and end in a deeply restful savasana. Bring a mat, water bottle, and any props. Some blocks and knee pads are available. It's led by Erin Anderson, RYT 200 yoga instructor and SEL facilitator. Reduce stress, improve flexibility, feel your best physically and mentally. Registration is required. This program is for adults and teens ages 13 and older. Also on Saturday, May 16th, from 12 to 1:30 p.m. in the community meeting room, it's Saturday Acoustic Roots Jam. No registration required. An acoustic-only music jam, open to all 18+. Email rich at Kuehl, that's C-U-L-E, 5632 at gmail.com for more information. And on Tuesday, May 19th, from 6 to 7:30 p.m. in Dexter Hall, it's Dementia, the New Pandemic. Registration is required. Join Terry Freikenberg for her talk, Dementia, the New Pandemic, a conversation our communities can't afford to avoid. Dementia is impacting more families than ever, often quietly, often without support or understanding. This talk is about awareness, advocacy, and most importantly, what we can actually do to better support our loved ones and one another. Whether you are a caregiver, a family member, a healthcare professional, or someone who simply wants to be more informed, this is a space to learn, ask questions, and connect. Terry Freikenberg is a nationally recognized leader in professional patient advocacy, an Amazon best-selling author, a patient safety expert, a newspaper columnist, and a sought-after public speaker. As a lifelong mentor, teacher, and champion for patients, Terry founded Nurse Advocate Entrepreneur to ensure everyone has access to a quality private advocate. She believes that at the heart of every good nurse, physician, and social worker is the spirit of advocacy, and that private patient advocates are uniquely equipped to meet the future of healthcare beyond the hospital's walls. This event is sponsored by the dementia-friendly Charlton. We have two obituaries this week from the Southbridge Evening News. The first, Andrew J. Kasiba, age 38, of Danielson, Connecticut, passed away unexpectedly on Wednesday, April 22nd, at his home in Danielson. Born in Worcester and raised in Dudley, Andrew graduated from Shepherd Hill Regional High School in 2006 and later earned a degree in jazz studies from Western Connecticut State University in 2010. A pianist since the age of 7, he dedicated his life to mastering the instrument. Andrew shared that passion with others through music education, aiding many students in pursuing their own musical dreams. Over the last 20 years, Andrew collaborated and played with musicians across Connecticut, New York, and Massachusetts in multiple ensembles, bands, and projects. Through hard work and creativity, he recorded and was featured on 13 albums and toured all across the eastern U.S. He was one of the first members of the New Haven Jazz Underground, a guild of musicians dedicated to performing and producing concerts in the greater New Haven area. More locally, Andrew was the music director and organist at Sturbridge Federated Church for 15 years. Under his direction, the music ministry used their musical talents to praise God weekly at church services. The ministry also performed in the community, including holiday performances at Old Sturbridge Village, and participated in ecumenical community choral workshops. Andrew was always eager to bring in small groups and solo musicians to church services throughout the year to do God's good work through voice and instrumentation. Andrew's professional commitment to youth music education began 15 years ago and included various roles, including private lessons instructor, jazz clinician, classroom general music teacher, choral director, band director, jazz band director, and pep band director in the communities of Shrewsbury, Framingham, Uxbridge, Dudley Charlton, and his most recent employment at Sutton Middle School. Andrew had turned his interest towards working in special education, where he hoped to spend his future. In his free time, Andy could be found boating with family on Quoddick Lake, playing a round of golf with his late father, listening to vinyl records on his favorite sound systems, or going for a drive to find and enjoy himself with a solid cup of coffee. He is survived by his mother, Kathleen Peterson Kasiba of Woodstock, Connecticut, Uncle James and his wife, Mary Lee Kasiba of Dudley, Aunt Kathy and her husband, Bernie Foucher of North Grosvenordale, Connecticut, and his lifelong friends, Nick DeMaria of New Haven and Dave McCouga of Storrs. A celebration of life will be held at 10 a.m. on Saturday, May 16th at Sturbridge Federated Church, 8 Maple Street in Sturbridge, with Pastor David Cote officiating. Burial will follow in Oak Ridge Cemetery in Southbridge. A calling hour at the church will be Saturday, May 16th from 9 to 10 a.m. The second obituary is that of Mary Harriet Louise Prunier of Jonesboro, Tennessee, who passed away on April 23rd. She is survived by her loving and devoted husband of nearly 50 years, Len Prunier, and her daughters, Joy Clark, Cynthia Fortin, and Deanna Andres. She also leaves behind four grandchildren and two great-grandsons. Mary was creative to her core. She loved to sew and was a talented quilter, putting care and personality into everything she made. She had a natural sense of style and was ahead of her time in fashion, always putting things together in her own unique way. Mary attended Quinsigamond Community College and Worcester State University and earned a certification from Worcester Polytechnic Institute. Mary worked for many years at American Optical and Rathbone Precision Metals, where she was known for her dedication and strong work ethic. Mary had a big heart and gave back in meaningful ways. She volunteered with hospice, offering comfort and compassion to others, and she was a passionate supporter of rescue dogs. She loved music, classic icons, and a little bit of glamour, especially Elvis Presley, Dolly Parton, Patsy Cline, Marilyn Monroe, and Diana, Princess of Wales. Mary will be remembered for her creativity, her honesty, her strength, and the deep love she had for her family. This community news program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you would like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone or iPad. I'm Dave Russell. Thanks for listening.
Hello once again, Audio Journal listeners. This is Bill with J.O. with your latest weather forecast for Wednesday, May 13th, 2026. For today, we're looking at mostly cloudy skies with scattered showers this afternoon. Some may be heavy at times with patchy fog. Highs today near 58 degrees. For tonight, mostly cloudy skies with showers and thunderstorms likely. Rain may be heavy at times towards dawn. low around 50 degrees. And the outlook for Thursday is called for mostly cloudy skies with showers and thunderstorms likely. Highs Thursday in the lower 60s. Thursday night, mostly cloudy skies with showers likely before midnight, then mostly cloudy after midnight. Low around 55 degrees. And the outlook for Friday is calm for an early morning shower, otherwise mostly sunny in the afternoon. Highs Friday near 65 degrees. That, folks, is your latest weather forecast for today. This is Wednesday, May 13th, 2026. This has been Bill Ruggiero saying have a good day, everybody, and stay tuned for more programming back at our Patricia A. Fletcher Studios in Worcester, Massachusetts. Take it easy. Have a great day, everybody. Bye.
Are you having difficulty with your eyesight? Are you losing your vision? Are you afraid of what comes next? If you're blind or visually impaired, contact Mass Commission for the Blind to find out if you're eligible to register for services. Learn new skills to reclaim your independence. Call 1-800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/MCB. That's 1-800-392-6450.